I appreciate it. Thank you, Sharina, for leading the team. We'll dismiss you at this time. Praise the Lord. We're in a series with a number of other churches in our community called One. I introduced it last week. We've got the banners up, and if you drive around town, you'll see some of those same banners at some of our other churches. We have a great opportunity this month on Sunday, October 24th. That morning, of course, we'll have our service as normal. But that evening at 6 o'clock at Battleground Baptist Church, we will combine with the other churches in our community and have a community worship service together. And so I hope you can come. It's at 6 o'clock. It'll go from 6 to 7 at Battleground Baptist Church. A number of our churches will be there, and we'll be worshiping together as one. Amen? Everybody say as one. As one. All right? And if you've been at one of those combined worship services before, you know it's delightful to get together with other believers, right, from other churches and just enjoy our time. So we'll be mentioning that as we go. And then that'll kind of conclude the series for us. Eddie's going to be taking the next two Sundays and preaching and finish out the series. And then the last Sunday of the month, Sharina's going to come and preach a sermon for us. And so that'll be great. Also, if you've brought an offering, your tithe and offerings, the boxes up here, the offering box, there's one in the foyer. And we thank you for your support. It's just critical during these times, and we thank you for it. Some of you use the online system. We appreciate it. Others of you mail it in or drop it off. So thank you so much for your faithfulness. And believe me, no gift is too small to help us with the budget to meet the needs. So we appreciate each one of you in that regard. And then we're going to have his favorite event. And before he tells you about that, we're going to do our kids' harvest party this year. We had to miss the last couple, but on Friday, October 29th at 5:30, we're going to have our kids' harvest event where we make this a kid-friendly zone. And so begin inviting kids to come. It's going to be a great event. And then that Sunday, you tell them about that.
It's Christmas in October. That's what it is. No, it is one of my most favorite events, and it is the soup and chili feed. It's just crazy how many people got like way too excited about the soup and chili feed when we told them that it was coming back. Sharina's got stuff coming to me. I don't know what, Dad. I have no idea what she's doing.
So on Sunday, October 31st. We're going to have the soup and chili feed at noon, right after the service. We'll have everything set up because of the kids' harvest party, and so we'll have tables already. So it'll look a little different Sunday for the service at 10 o'clock, but after the service at noon. So it'll be kind of like a potluck thing, and we'll have a few little things we'll ask you to do as far as it's a little bit different way we'll serve this year. But the only distraction will be if we can keep Eddie involved in the service and not over at the tables where the soup and chili are. But Stacy will be here, and you can bring them before service. We'll plug them in, or if you need to slip home real quick after service, bring it back or whatever. But that'll free up your evening. So it's something new we're going to try this year. I think it'll be really great. So is that okay?
That's perfect.
All right.
Perfect. I know what time it is. I do. But for those of you who might have noticed or have not noticed, the month of October is Pastor's Appreciation Month. And we wanted to take time in this service, and this is actually what Sharina was reminding me about, so she gets all the credit on this one. But this month is Pastor's Appreciation Month. I know you appreciate our pastors, Ed and Chelsea. I know that.
Thank you.
But As a son, could I just encourage you? Could I encourage you to carve out some time in a conversation? Or carve out some time as you write a note and a card. Or maybe if the Lord lays something on your heart and you want to, Dad's going to kick me for this one.
Maybe if you give him
a little gift or a gift card. And in that gift card, you tell Dad, take your bride to dinner. Take it. See what he's doing right now? He's cringing, and I can feel it behind me. But that's not the only way we can say thank you to our pastors, but it's one of the ways. Yep. And I know that you guys get me, you get him, and he would never do this
thank
on
you.
His own.
Thank you, son.
But let's show our pastors some love, yeah, not just
I
today,
appreciate
but
it.
The month of October.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dad.
Thank you. Thank you very much. But it's important to note that we have a great pastoral staff. Eddie and Stacy, Shireen and Jimmy, John and Sally, Penny, we thank these ministers as well. And they're pastors with every great responsibility. So thank you for the applause, though. Thank you. Anyway, it's good to get a little banter with Eddie. He was gone last week, and so I take back all the good things I said about him last week. No, I'm certainly joking. I want to preach the second message in this series of four messages. And last week we started with the one series. Ephesians 4, 4 through 6 is our text, and they should be up on the screen. And as I've mentioned already, this is a series that is being preached in a number of our churches in Battleground. Through the next 4 or 5 weeks. Last week I talked about the one gospel, and we shared the importance of recognizing that though we may have different church bodies in our community and around the world, we are all part of one body. It's the body of Christ, and there is one gospel, and that is Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Amen? We believe that. And so Ephesians 4, 4 through 6, I want to read this. This is the head text for this series. It says, there is one body, one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Next week, Eddie will take and preach about one spirit, and then the next Sunday he'll finish it off by talking about one Lord and one Father. But today, I want to talk about one body. One body. In Ephesians 2, 11 through 22, just skip over from where we were. Ephesians 2, verse 11. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called a circumcision, made in the flesh by hand. In other words, uncircumcision means Gentiles, circumcision means Jews. All right? And he's writing to these Ephesians who were Gentiles. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. One of the saddest verses you'll find in the Bible. Without hope, without God in the world. I can't think of anything worse than to have no hope and to have no God. No God. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off, that's the Gentiles, that's us, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. How many have accepted Christ as your Savior? Say amen. You've been brought near by the blood of Christ. 14. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one, Gentiles and Jews, has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. So God broke down the division between Jew and Gentile through the cross, and now he's made both one. Those believing Jews and those Gentiles who believe are now one. It's called the body of Christ. Verse 16. And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body, notice that, in one body, through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and for those who were near. So Gentiles who had no hope, he's now come and preached peace to you. And Paul, of course, writing this, was the apostle to the Gentiles. For through him, verse 18, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. That one Spirit, Eddie will talk about that next week. Verse 19. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens. Now that we've come to the cross, we're not strangers anymore. We're not foreigners. We're fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. So when we say the body, we're talking about the household of God. That's who we are now that we've accepted Christ as our Savior. Verse 20, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So Jesus is the cornerstone, the apostles, the prophets, all through the Old Testament have built upon that. And now we are brought in as Gentiles to become the body of Christ or the household of God, as you will, as it were. Verse 21, in whom the whole building, now he likens us to a body, now he likens us to a building, uses two different analogies here. A building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. That's what God is doing. He's building up a holy temple to the Lord, the body of Christ, Jews, Gentiles, whoever will may come. Verse 22, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. I believe that it was in God's heart from the beginning of time to have one body. One body. We call it the body of Christ. As I mentioned last week, it's comprised of all those who have accepted Christ Jesus as their Savior, with no labels of which particular church we go to. Now, it's interesting to note for me that we do have a body here. We call this the Landmark body, but we're not the only body. How many know that, right? We have family members, brothers and sisters in Christ, in all the churches in Battleground who believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. We're connected, we're united, but we choose to worship with this body. We're not enemies. We're friends, and we're connected. We choose different modes of worship, and there's not one right one and one wrong one. It's just the way that we have chosen. And we appreciate all of you that have chosen Landmark to be your church body that you worship in. But it's important that we remember that we are part of a larger body of Christ, right? And that's why the reason the one series. But I believe it's always been in God's heart to have this body. From the households in the Old Testament of the tribes of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob to the 12 tribes of Israel, people have gathered together. They've desired to be together. Even during the time of Abraham, he had his tribe as they traveled wherever God sent them. And he had to go out and rescue Lot after being abducted. He met Melchizedek, who was an interesting fellow. He was a high priest of the Most High God. Hebrews tells us, the book of Hebrews tells us that he didn't have any known beginning or ending, though he did, but we don't know what that was. And in that sense, he was a type of Christ. But even Melchizedek had a body of people. And then when you go to the book of Revelation and you read about the nation of Israel, it talks about every kindred, tribe, and tongue in the book of Revelation will be worshiping in heaven. Isn't it good to know that when we all get to heaven, we're not the only ones going to be there? Amen? Now, sadly, there are some groups who probably believe that, but what a surprise. every nation, kindred, tongue, and tribe will be represented in heaven because that is the body of Christ, right? But people have needed a people to call their own. That's what we call the need for family. And so even when you look at family units, your own family units, there's no family unit that's perfect. There's no perfect family. They may look that way on the outside, You may see a certain family and go, boy, I wish our family was like them. They're perfect. They always have this smile on. They're always on time for church, and they're always involved, and you see them in the store, and they're perfect. Well, spend a night in their house, and you'll know they are not perfect. Amen? They are not perfect. My family's not perfect. I'm the head of the family. That's why we're not perfect. Come on. Your family is not perfect, but we are still family, are we not? And so, in the same measure, every church, there's no church that's perfect. There's no church body that's perfect. If you're looking for a perfect church, you won't find it in Battleground. And all of the pastors in our town will tell you that. If you're looking for a perfect church, you won't find it in Clark County. And I know many of the pastors in Clark County, and they'll tell you that. If you're looking for a perfect church, you will not find it in Washington State. And if you happen to be one that might be moving to Idaho, you will not find a perfect church in Idaho. All right? There's some good, great churches there, but there's no perfect church. If you're looking for a perfect church across the nation, you will not find a perfect church. If you're looking for a perfect church body of believers around the world, you won't find a perfect church. What you will find, though, is the church of Jesus Christ, which is his body, which is comprised of every believer of every nation, tribe, and tongue, who God is perfecting and will someday perfect and take to be with him. When the rapture occurs, God's not going to go, okay, let's take the Pentecostals first. No. Okay, let's take the Baptist first. No. Okay, let's take the Lutherans first. No. No, he's not going to take anybody first. He's going to take all of those that remain on this earth in the rapture. We're all going to be caught up together, amen, to meet the Lord in the air. And we say with John the Revelator, come Lord Jesus, come quickly. People have had a desire to be a family. And that's why this passage in Ephesians is so important, because Paul explains in great details how he joined Jews and Gentiles. Now, before the cross, the Jews had this impression, and they were God's chosen people. But the problem with that is that that wasn't a perfect unit either. They had problems as well. How many know that? They had problems. That's why Jesus, one day in Matthew, I think it's Matthew 26 or somewhere in there, Jesus spoke to the Jewish leaders and said to them, you are hypocrites. You are vipers. You are whited sepulchres, which means painted graves. They weren't perfect. How many know that? But God wanted to make one body. And so Jesus came to the cross. He tore down the wall of separation between Jew and Gentile, and God said, now I want all those Jews who will believe in me, believe in Jesus as my Savior, to come, and I want you to be joined with all those Gentiles who believe in Jesus to come, and I'm going to make you one family, one body. And in the book of Acts, the Jews coming in, Peter was one of them for a little while, they said, oh, we love that. Come on in, Gentiles. But you got to be circumcised. You got to accept Jesus as your Savior, and you got to be circumcised. And Paul said, wait a minute. Circumcision was a sign of the old covenant. It's fine, okay, but don't put that requirement on the Gentiles. And the Gentiles went, phew. And they had this conference together, and they worked out some details, and finally the Jewish church said, okay, we agree, you don't have to be circumcised, but just do these couple of things. Don't eat things strangled, you know, in the blood and all of this. But other than that, we can come together. And they came together, and they, according to Paul in the Ephesians, they produced the one body, the body of Christ. Amen? How many know it's not always easy to join two families together? Da 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 da. Da 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 da. Wedding, right? Or the old-fashioned wedding song. And so, bride and groom, you know, Dearly beloved, we're gathered here. Do you promise? Do you promise? Oh, yes. Do the cake and the toast. And yeah, we're family. We're combining two families. And we'll be happily ever after. Not. And then there's the uncle comes in and the aunt comes in and the cousins come in and they, you know, don't lie. And how many know you got to work at making that family work, right? Same way with Jew and Gentiles. They had some problems making the family work, but they worked it out because they always came back to the reason they were a family, and that is because Jesus is our Savior. It is His body. It's His body. It's His body. And so we trust in the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And that's what Eddie will talk about that a little more later. So it's been God's desire that through the cross we will have a body of believers. Jew and Gentile together, we are one. He said that you once were afar off. That's the Gentiles. That's all of us. We were Gentiles. We had no right to the promises of God. But when Jesus died on the cross, He gave us a way to come and become part of His body, didn't He? The cross, which is communion, which was last week. The conclusion of what He said in our passage that I've read, verse 19, he says, now therefore you are fellow citizens. He uses the imagery not only of a body and a building, but of a municipality. He said, you're fellow citizens. Okay? And that's an interesting analogy, because citizenship was an incredible privilege in those days. What city state do you belong to? Do you belong to the Corinthian city state? Do you belong to one of the areas in Galatia? Where do you belong? And people took great pride in where they belong. Well, I live in Battleground. I'm a citizen of Battleground. And if you're a citizen of Battleground, if you live within the city limits of Battleground, you have an important election coming up. You have city council members that need to be voted on. You have school board members that need to be voted on. You have a levy that needs to be voted on. And so get your pamphlet, read through, pray about who to vote for, and exercise your privilege as a citizen of Battleground. Amen? You have a privilege to do that. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, but pray over those things. Those are important. You say, why is that important? Because as our leaders in our city, so goes our city. As the leaders in our school district, so goes our school district. Come on. And so we need to be responsible citizens. Now, I live outside the city limits of Battleground, so I get to vote on a few referendums and things like that, and I can vote on the school board members, and I prayed about that. I've already marked my booklet on who I feel like I'm going to vote for and the levy, and you know, I've already decided how I want to go on that. But that's one of the privileges. Now, come next year in November, we're going to be able to vote on some representatives in our state, right? And so it'll be important because we are also citizens of Washington State. You wouldn't think so the way it's run right now, but we are citizens of Washington State. And I don't want to go there. And then in two more years, we'll get to vote for national elections and vote on a new president. So all those things are important. But nothing is more important than knowing you are a citizen of the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, there is no vote. The kingdom of God, the body of Christ, the church universal, is not a democracy. It's not a republic. It is a monarchy. We have a king, and his name is Jesus, and he says what goes. Amen? King Jesus. King Jesus. And so, you were fellow citizens. You're the household of God. I love that term, household of God. Built on the foundation of apostles and prophets. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. Fitted together, we grow a holy temple in the Lord. That's the beautiful thing about the body of Christ, is that we are a holy temple of the Lord. Sunday, October 24th, if you can join us at the Battleground Baptist Church, from 6 to 7. We're going to have this combined worship service, and we're going to stand and sit with people of all different churches. There's going to be all kinds of pastors there. And the one purpose that we're going to do it is so we can, in unity, worship the Lord together. Hallelujah. And I love it. I love being able to do that with my brothers and sisters in the Lord. We are being formed into a holy temple to the Lord. But even greater than that will be the day that Revelation says every nation, kindred, tongue, and tribe will worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in heaven together. Hallelujah. Amen. Because we are one. And as I mentioned last week, I may not agree totally with every pastor in town on some theological things, but what we do agree on is the Lordship of Jesus Christ and that He is the only Savior. It's the only way to heaven. Now, it's interesting that Paul, again, he goes from referencing a municipality to a building, a dwelling place of God. But he goes into greater detail on this idea of the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians 12. And I want to finish up my remarks from 1 Corinthians 12. One body is the emphasis this morning. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 12, I'm going to read through this and comment as I go, and then we'll be finished. But Paul goes into great detail describing the body of Christ. And again, I hope I've laid the foundation for all of us understanding who the body of Christ is. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are part of the body of Christ. No matter what church you go to, no matter where you live in the world, you are part of the body of Christ. So, 1 Corinthians 12 and 12. Eddie preached on this message about 2 years ago, this same passage. So if you have notes, you might see some similarities. I don't know. Listen to the words of Paul the Apostle. He says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." So it's got lots of members, but it's one body. "For by one Spirit," again, that's Eddie, that's his theme next week, "we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into the one Spirit." So if you're a slave, you can be saved. If you are a free man, you can be saved. And this was important in the day that Paul lived. We don't see that here today. None of you are slaves, but we are servants of Jesus Christ. Amen? Or literally slaves of Jesus Christ, but not slaves as it were in time past. Verse 14, "For in fact, the body is not one member, but many." That's why we can't go around going, "I am the body of Christ." No. We are the body of Christ. Amen? It's not I, but it's we. Okay. Verse 15, "If the foot should say," now that's interesting. Who is the foot of the body of Christ? I won't even go there. Foot's important. "Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body." Paul uses this, it's Pauline humor is what it is. He said if the body of Christ foot could talk, it could not say, "I am not the hand, therefore I am not of the body." No. Verse 16. "If the ear should say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body?" In other words, my ear cannot get mad at me and say one day, "I will not be part of Ed Statton's body anymore. I refuse." Well, I'm sorry, you're there. You are attached. Just don't show up when Peter's got a sword, or you might not be. All right? But I'm attached, so my ear cannot say I'm not a part of Ed Statton's body. One of my grandchildren can though they wouldn't, but one of my grandchildren might say, I'm upset with Papa, so I'm not part of the Statton family anymore, or the Sowers family. And I would say, sorry, you are part of this family, whether you like it or not. Amen? Come on. All right, verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? The body of Christ isn't one big eye. The body of Christ isn't one big nose. The body of Christ isn't one big ear. The body of Christ is made up of all the parts. Amen? All the parts. I just read a letter from one of our missionaries, Dave Walker. You can see his picture out on the missionary wall. And if you would like to give to a special missionary boy, Dave is doing a great job. He just wrote and said, some of the Afghanistan refugees have made it to India. He started a church in India for Afghan refugees, and they already have 200 Afghanistan people worshiping together the Lord Jesus Christ. They're part of the body, amen? Because they love Jesus. Verse 18, but now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where should the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head, feet, I have no need of you. I cannot say today, sorry, my Baptist friends, I don't need you. No, I need you. I cannot say to my Lutheran brothers and sisters, I don't need you, I need you. They can't save me. Pentecostals, we don't need you. No, we need you. There was a beautiful expression of this not long ago in our weekly pastors' meeting, where one of our pastors was struggling big time. We encircled him and all laid hands on him. 10, 12 pastors praying for a pastor in our community in unity, because we need each other. We need each other. So much rather than, verse 22, those members of the body which seem to be weak are necessary, those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, these we bestow greater honor. Let me skip down. Verse 25, that there should be no division in the body, that the members should have the same care one for another. Nothing hurts a community more than to have the churches arguing and fighting each other. Nothing hurts a community worse than that. And if one member suffers, verse 26, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. When somebody's hurting in the body of Christ, we all feel that. When brothers and sisters in Christ are being martyred somewhere in the world, that affects us all. Verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And then he goes into the different workings of the ministry of the body. But I'm going to conclude there. And I just want to say this as we conclude. We are the body of Christ. We're in unity around the world. But then there are times we have to come back to our local body. And this morning is a good example of that. Some of our body are suffering. They're hurting. That's why we took so much time to pray. That's why we took time to allow Eddie to speak the word. Because when one of the body, of Landmark's body, hurts, we feel that. You may not know the details. You may not even know someone is hurting. But maybe the Lord wakes you up in the middle of the night and you have this sense you need to pray for the church. You need to pray for Landmark. You need to obey that, because that means somebody's hurting. I got a call a few days ago. And someone that attends our church, I won't mention names, but they've not been able to be here for a couple of weeks. They've been ill. And called me up and said, Pastor, you've been on my heart so strong. I want to make sure, are you okay? See, he felt something, because, Pastor, I'm part of the body of Christ. And I thanked him for his prayers and explained a little bit about the last couple of weeks for me. And we prayed together, because we're part of the body. If Lord lays someone on your heart, you may not know, and you may never know what they're going through, but if that name comes to your mind, you need to begin to pray for them right then. Amen? Because you feel that. It's the body. It's what we do. It's what we do. And so I'm going to have you stand, and we're going to conclude the service. But I want you to know how much of a privilege it is to be part of the body of Christ. And only heaven will tell, only eternity will tell the story of what the body of Christ on this earth has gone through. But in heaven, all of that will be done. And we will rejoice in an eternity together. So, love those in the body of Christ. When you meet someone that attends a different church, know that they are part of the body of Christ. Treat them with respect and dignity as a family member. Pray for our churches and our community. Pray for our leaders. Pray for people in those bodies. And pray for each other here. Thank God for the body of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Well, Lord, we thank you this morning. It's been a good service. Had incredible worship. Thank you for the encouragement of those songs. Thank you for the activities that are coming up. Lord, it's good to be together in fellowship time as well. Thank you for the time of ministry, time of prayer, Eddie's exhortation. Thank you, Jesus, for being part of the body of Christ. Thank you for Paul's teaching on this, so that we see, Lord, we're part of the body. We don't know if we're a hand, maybe, or a foot, or a nose, or an eye. We don't know. But whatever I am, let me fulfill that well. Just let me fulfill that well. Help there to be no schism, no divisions in the body. Help us work through those things so that God will be glorified. And finally, Jesus, we thank you for dying on the cross because you made it all possible. For we are the body of Christ. So now go with us as we go our separate ways. Help us to enjoy this wonderful Sunday afternoon. Continue to be with those of our body who are struggling and are hurting. And as Eddie said, have faced adversity. Help them, Lord, to know, as Sharina led this song, it is well with my soul. It is well. No matter what, it is well. And peace will flow like a river to those that are struggling today. And we thank you for that. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's thank the Lord for his word today. Amen. Amen. Amen.